So you have to discipline someone on your team, or you have to have a difficult conversation, and you're not quite sure how to handle that, especially to remain professional if it gets confrontational. So what are you supposed to do? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode and give you some strategies to help you feel more in control. So welcome to You're in Charge, Now What? The podcast that helps empower new managers and experienced managers with real world solutions to make them feel more in control, more confident in their ways of being a leader. I'm your host, Glenn Pasch, and each week we dive headfirst into those challenges that managers have in order to provide those strategies that you can implement right away. So let's dive into today's episode and help you feel more in control when you have to have that difficult conversation. Oh, well, welcome back to another episode. And here we go. This is not an easy topic. It's probably one of the hardest things that I had to learn as a manager. And when I'm coaching managers, it is not easy to have difficult conversations. A lot of times when these types of conversations come up, a lot of times it's over, I have to let someone go. I have to fire someone. My feeling about this is the reason why it goes wrong so often is because you didn't have, I wouldn't say difficult conversations, but you didn't have honest conversations with this employee previously. In this case, it's a surprise to them. They thought they were doing everything well, and now you're pulling them into their office and saying, hey, we're not happy with your performance. We're going to have to let you go. Now, there are times when a company has to lay people off for certain reasons that is a surprise, and there are ways that you handle that as well. So we're going to touch on a lot of these today in order to empower you, but most of the times it will be a performance-based conversation and what you should be saying. And there will be certain times where I'm going to recommend you have, if you have an HR department, either if they handle that, I still think the manager who oversees that person, it's only professional to be involved in this. I wouldn't hand this off to someone else, but you may have HR present with you to help you navigate or have a conversation with them ahead of time to say, here's what's going on. What do I have to do? Okay. So what would I, when I'm having this conversation or I feel like I have to prepare myself to have a conversation, the first thing I want to look at is I want to get the facts, no emotion. One of the best lessons I ever learned about having a conversation of this type, it was a time when I was running a sales team and somebody was up for a raise on their hourly rate or some sort of bonus at the end of the month. And I didn't want to give it to them because they had other issues. They were showing up late. They were a little bit disruptive, but their numbers still said they should get a raise. And I was saying no. So I was having the conversation, which I thought was a little bit of a difficult, preparing for a difficult conversation. And I was talking to my boss at the time. And I said, well, here's what I want to do. And they said, well, I think you should give them this raise. And I said, well, I don't believe so. So here's where the lesson was. This is where it's the emotion. And that's why I'm taking the time to explain this is he took his hand and covered up the person's name and said, based on those numbers, should this individual get a raise? And I knew where they were going. And I said, yes. And he said, so then give them a raise. As soon as he took his hand off and I saw the name, I said, but you don't understand. They did this. They did that. He said, well, then discipline them according to the process for those actions, but in terms of numbers, you have to give them a raise. So the reason why I want to start off with this is we have a tendency to allow our emotions at times to take over. And if we enter into this discussion with our emotions, it's going to generate their emotions, and then we're going to get into arguments, and we're going to start talking about them as people, or they're going to talk about you as people, and none of that should be involved. Keep emotions out of this by having the data. It should be all about metrics. The reason, again, this is important is that person, when they're sitting across from me, we're talking about performance. We're talking about numbers. We're not talking about them as people. So when you're talking to them, another aspect of this is focus on the numbers, focus on actions. The words, well, you're not putting in the effort. It seems like you're not bought in, you're lazy. Anything to do with them as a person is going to cause conflict, going to cause emotions, going to cause arguments. No one can talk about numbers. Meaning, if they're supposed to make 30 phone calls a day and they're making 20, if they're making supposed to generate 20 sales and they're generating 10, we can talk about activities and we can have a discussion about activities. But if I'm saying the reason why you're not achieving is you're not putting in the effort, you're not lazy, without actual technical specific actions that I can focus on, we're going to have a more difficult conversation because, again, we're talking about something that is subjective. I could think I'm working very hard. You could think I'm not working very hard. But it's about activities. And that's why in our previous episode where we're talking about setting clear expectations around goals, we need to make sure that they understand what are the activities that are going to generate the results we want, because then we can coach actions and activities. We can't coach feelings. All right. So that's really going to be important. Now, as I said in the intro, the reason why sometimes these conversations are a surprise for the individual who is on the receiving end is because we, as a coach, haven't done our job along the way. If I have been doing my job along the way as a coach, I have been giving them feedback. I have been doing one-on-ones with my team. I have been explaining to them, well, we're not where we need to be. We need to achieve more calls a day. We need to achieve more sales. And the reason why I'm looking at your activities is you're not sending out enough emails. You're not making enough phone calls. You're not, whatever it is, if you're supposed to be losing weight, right? I'm your coach and I'm having a difficult conversation of almost to the point of, I can't be your coach if you're not going to put in the effort because you're not showing up to the gym or you haven't changed your diet. Or when I ask you what your diet is, you're still eating the things we agreed you wouldn't eat. But it should be a conversation that's happened multiple times. We spoke about the training tree in the previous episode. The training tree is, if I'm not getting the results that I want when I'm coaching you along the way, I shouldn't be coaching you one time and kicking you out. I shouldn't not be coaching you at all and kicking you off the team. I need to be with you along the way. Now, if I'm saying to you, hey, we're not getting the results, and I've coached you and I've retrained you, and you said, no problem, Glenn, I'm going to put in the effort. I'm going to make sure we're doing this. Now, the next time that I have followed up and we're not doing this, you still aren't achieving where I'm supposed to be, right? So the next level of the training tree is, first conversation, I'm going to retrain you. No problem. Second time, the question for you as the coach is, are they at least making progress? They may not be there fully, but are they moving forward? Are they putting in the effort? Okay, I'm going to retrain you. I'm going to keep retraining you until I get to the point where I know that you have chosen not to do it. What we said the last time, it's not a KNOW falter, meaning I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It is a no, N-O. I'm choosing not to do it. I'm choosing not to listen. And I've had that conversation to understand why you're choosing not to do this. And I thought we got you back on track. But notice I've had 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 conversations in my coaching to move this person forward, to help them get better. Now, if they continue to not perform, now, again, I'm not talking about being unprofessional, disruptive, breaking some rule where they're throwing things in the office or yelling at people or swearing at people, something that's an extreme behavior. They're just showing up, but they're not achieving results. Well, now we have to have a time where we start the conversations of discipline. We have now moved onto the path off of the path of retraining you and helping you to maybe disciplining you will wake you up. We've had that. Most people had that in our childhood where our parents disciplined us because they talked to us. They explained what we said, you know, what they said we shouldn't do, and we kept doing it. So eventually they upped the ante by maybe taking away TV, your Xbox. Maybe you're not allowed to go out with your friends, whatever it is. They've thought maybe if I up the ante a little bit, it will wake you up and get you shocked back into the behavior that we need you to do. So it's the same thing here. Just because someone is still not performing, I don't jump. I shouldn't jump all the way to firing. Hey, I got to let you go. That's a surprise. But again, this is where you as a manager need to understand with in partnership with your HR department, what is our process for discipline? Everyone's company is different. What is yours? Maybe it's a verbal warning first. Maybe it's a written warning. Maybe it's a second written warning. Maybe it's a suspension. Maybe there are stages till you get to the point of you can't work here anymore, whatever that conversation is. And again, it doesn't have to be about I'm going to fire you. It could be lateness. It could be I've had conversations with people because of just the way they talk to other people or the way they, you know, interact with each other, or they took a client, or they, there are a million different things. Again, it all goes back to what are the actions? What's the policy? I'm going to make sure they understand the policy. I'm going to make sure they understand what actions they're doing that we don't need them to do, and we need to get them back on track. And then also, I'm letting them know what the next step is if they don't. Once they understand it, they understand now that you know what you should be doing and you're going to do it. If all of a sudden we move to the, well, I'm choosing not to do it, you, and this is what I explain, make sure you write this one down. I let them know they are driving the ship. You are now moving yourself onto the road of discipline. One of the, I like to think one of my best management sort of talks that explained this to someone is I said, listen, I didn't force you to come work for me. I didn't go into your house, drag you out of your bed and say, you're working for me. You came to me. You came to me, knocked on my door and said, I would like to work for you. And you went through the interview process and I basically shared with you what I expected from you. Here are the rules. This is what you need to do. Here's what we want. And you agreed. And we've trained you and we invested in you. But now you're choosing not to do this. You're not following the rules, right? They're not my rules. They're the company's rules. And you're choosing not to do this. By you doing that, you are now making me take off my coach's hat and put on the boss hat. I don't like the boss hat. When I put on the boss hat, now we're going down the road of discipline. Now you're driving the ship. You're putting me in a position where this is out of my control. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You're choosing not to do this. I'm trying to explain to you where we're going if you continue this behavior. And I explained to them, the next time I have this conversation, I'm writing you up. And if I write you up and I document this on the form, I make sure I write, if this happens again, this is the next step. You will be suspended for a day. You will be whatever then your next phase is. And I make sure they sign it. The reason why I document any discipline, even one-on-ones, I always document them because someone could turn around and say, well, Glenn never worked with me. And I open up the folder or the file or their files on a computer. And I say, is this your signature? It looks like there was six or seven of these forms. Well, no one ever told me that this was wrong. Well, isn't this your signature on the warning that said the next time this happens, you're going to be suspended? The reason why it's important to document is because if I'm out or I've moved on to another position and you as a manager have taken over the team, you may not know that we've had these conversations. And it's important for you to understand that so the person doesn't say, no one ever told me. And you said, okay. And even if that happens, you start from scratch, treat them the same way, hold them accountable. That person will eventually get back onto the discipline track eventually because they're choosing not to do it. The reason, again, why this is important is when you get to the point of having that really difficult conversation of saying, I have to let you go, it should not be a surprise. People have said to me, why do people shake your hand when you fire them or you let them go? I said, because it's not a surprise. They know. I have done everything I can to convince them to get off of that road. Why would you want to lose this job? You're really good at this. All we're asking you to do is this. By that time, the person goes, listen, I know you've done everything you can. This job's not for me. That's fine. It's okay. It's okay. We part ways. But having these difficult conversations, it's really important. Again, I just want to summarize. It's really important that you know the facts. If you are the mediator of two people, make sure you know the facts from each sides and do your research. It's important also to make sure that when you're sitting with one-on-one in an office, I highly recommend that you have another person there. That's where HR comes in. Maybe you have an administrator, somebody who's not aligned maybe with that team, because what we don't want to have is if two of us are there with that person, oh, they ganged up on me. They didn't listen to me. Having someone who has no skin in the game, they're truly a mediator, and then interview, because now I have a witness to say, I brought this up to you. You said this to me, especially male, female, especially older, younger. A lot of times, just having that third party there helps the situation because everyone feels comfortable that I'm just not alone, where someone could say, well, you as a boss intimidated me. That's why I couldn't say something. Again, these difficult conversations. So again, I highly recommend having a third party in the room, no matter what, to make sure that everybody is protected when you're explaining. But again, the more clear you can be, we're talking about facts, we're talking about actions, we're talking about results, we're not talking about them as an individual. We are, our first line of defense or default is to retrain. Retrain, retrain, retrain until you realize they're choosing not to do it. Once they're choosing not to do it, then you're going to have the conversation of basically telling them you are driving down the road of discipline. That's not a road that you want to go down because eventually you are going to drive yourself out of this position on this team in this company. It's going to be your choice, not mine. I'm trying to coach you to be successful. You're choosing not to listen. You're choosing not to doing it. You're choosing. Always use those words. You're choosing. And here's what's going to happen. The next time we have this conversation, a written warning. Here's your written warning. Next time we have this conversation, here's your suspension all the way to letting them go. It should not be a surprise. And again, making sure you're including HR or your superiors in these conversations. So again, everyone knows what's going on. So if that conversation has to happen and you're letting someone go, HR is prepared with whatever they need to present to the individual. The individual knows what, you know, if they have to turn things back into the company, what they have to do, if they have benefits, what they have to do, all of that. It's very clean. It's very simple. Again, it's not emotional. Lastly, if you are in that final conversation and you have to let someone go, keep it as clean and simple as possible. Do not, if you've done your job, you already have had the conversations over and over and over again. It is time for you to say, we have decided to part ways. We are going to let you go. Here's what the next steps are. Don't explain yourself. If they want to start, there's nothing else to say. Just, here's what's going on. I'm going to turn you over to HR. They're going to take it from here and let them go. It's just going to make it a lot easier. So again, any type of difficult conversation, follow this strategy. It will help you remain professional, get rid of emotions, but ultimately you should at that point have done everything you can to rectify the situation. They've chosen not to comply. So I hope you found value. I hope that was helpful. I know it's a difficult topic, but it is a necessary topic if you are going to be the leader that you want to be. So I want to thank you for being here with us. If you found value in this episode or any of our episodes, please make sure you subscribe, hit the like button, the notification button, and please share it out with your network. I'm sure there are people in your network that could benefit from this as well. I want to thank the team at Black Swallowtail Studios and PCG for putting this all together. I appreciate your attention. The fact that you're here with me each week means the world. I know there's a lot of places you can consume content, but as I say at the end of every episode, you're in charge, but now you have a few more tactical solutions in your toolkit that will help you become the leader that you want to be. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks so much, and see you next week.